Well, this morning we are going to be reading in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22 down to verse 36. And if you have your Bible, you might want to turn there with me. It's a bit of a passage of scripture, an interesting event that happened a day in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. And today I don't have it on the overhead, so if you want to follow along, you'll need to open your Bible, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Wow, what an incredible event, a day in the life of Jesus, or just a portion of that day. And you know, there are so many incredible and important lessons or truths in this passage that I just read. The importance of prayer, that Jesus went up alone to pray. He needed time to pray. It was like the fuel to his ministry. It was essential that he took time, as busy as he was, as important as everyone else was and everything else was. He had to take time to pray. He just couldn't go on. He would be on empty in a way. There's that. There's of course the teaching about Jesus and his power over nature. I mean, it's not every day you see people walking on water and storms getting calmed and that sort of thing happening. But Jesus was able to do that. He has incredible authority, even over nature. Now, we walk on frozen water here in the winter, but it's not the same thing, okay? And then there's the long night at sea, right? I mean, the long, long night. It was the fourth watch before Jesus came out, and how they had to wait and wait. And there's clearly a lesson here on waiting. There is the initial faith that Peter had, that soon was followed by that sinking feeling of going into the water, and he cried out to Jesus, and what started out with faith, and then Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith," and he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus raised him up, and there's an incredible story there. There's the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. When they seen and they heard, and when they saw what happened, they came to that conclusion, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And then there's, of course, the healing power of Jesus. Wow, who would want to be there and just touch the edge of his garment, right? How many times have we thought, boy, if I'd love that, you know, wouldn't that be Wouldn't that be great? And all who touched him were healed. Ah, there's at least six or seven amazing messages in this passage this morning. We could do a 2-month series on it if that's what we were going to do, but we're not. All of these are great, 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 great truths. But somewhere in the middle, there's a statement that stands out and stands apart, and that's kind of what I wanted to focus in on this morning. It might even be the key to this whole passage. In fact, I believe it is, and that is in verse 27, where the disciples were crying out in fear. And it says, Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. On the surface, it doesn't seem very profound, but it's such wonderful words of reassurance. These disciples were at their wits' end already. They had been up all night trying to get across a lake and stay alive. Their lives were on the line. It was not long before, in fact, at the beginning of this same chapter, there's the report of John the Baptist who was beheaded, and that was still fresh on their minds. To say that they were stressed would be an understatement. And then in the middle of the night, and how tired they are, they see someone walking on the water. Their first thought was that this must be some kind of ghost. And so they cried out in fear. I think all of that is rather understandable. But before we look at Jesus' response, it's important for us to take note of an important fact. And that is that the disciples were exactly where they were supposed to be when they ran into all of these problems. They were where Jesus had sent them. They had been with Jesus, as you know, the day before. They had witnessed Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 people with some bread and fish. And then Jesus sent them across the lake on their way in a boat. They were where Jesus had sent them. And the point is this, that the disciples found themselves in their difficult situation, not because they were being rebellious, but precisely because they were following orders. They were being obedient to the Lord, to their Lord and Master. They weren't trying to run away from him. And it is in that context, in the context of obedience, that they find themselves in trouble on the lake. You may say, didn't Jesus know there would be a storm? Didn't Jesus know that they would run into problems? And yeah, I'm pretty sure that Jesus knew that. And it seems to me that Jesus intentionally sent them into a storm. He intentionally set them into a place where they would face a crisis. They didn't find themselves in a mess because they were running away, kind of like Jonah, right? We understand Jonah's situation. He was trying to run from God, go the opposite direction, and he ran into a whole heap of problems. But this was not like that. They were in full obedience. They were where they were supposed to be, they were doing what they were supposed to do, and they found themselves in a storm. And I emphasize that a little bit because sometimes we get the mistaken idea that if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing And if we're where God wants us to be, then we won't run into any trouble. Now, I hope we don't say that that's what we think, we believe, but we kind of hope for that anyway, right? That if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and if I'm where God wants me to be, and if I keep my nose clean, and you know, we can add to that list whatever you like. You know, if I give my offerings, if I teach Sunday school, if I do this, if I that, then I should be okay. I shouldn't run into trouble, and we hope for smooth sailing. And while that sounds like a great idea, I mean, who wouldn't want smooth sailing, right? You know, it's not biblical. On the contrary, as Anne mentioned last week, and Scripture reminds us that in this world, you will have trouble, and more often than not, we're thinking, "Okay, Lord, when's enough? Right? I've had my share. I had my neighbor's share as well. It seems like in this world, we would have trouble." But the point is this: Jesus didn't insulate his disciples from difficulties. I admit it would be nice if he did that for us all the time. And sometimes he does. Sometimes he does, it's true. But sometimes he sends us right into the middle of the storm. We don't like that. We don't like that. Nobody likes that. But we need to remember that that's the reality. That sometimes, because he loves us, because he knows what's best for us, because maybe he wants to show his power in us, maybe in some other way he will be glorified, I don't know. But for whatever reason, sometimes God sends us right into the storm. And we don't understand. We don't always understand why we're even there and how we got there and how do we get out of that. And so here's, coming back to our story in Matthew 14, here's the disciples. Some are out on the lake after a crazy day that included devastating news and amazing miracles. I mean, these guys were spent. They were at the end of their rope. They were stressed. They were tired. The storm's been brewing. It was the fourth watch of the night. There aren't very many occasions in my life that I've stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay? Fourth watch would have been 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. A couple of times I've stayed up really late when I'd be studying for school, and when in those days, not often, but sometimes, finishing a term paper or something. Sometimes I'd be up way into the night trying to solve a crazy computer problem, you know, something that just wasn't working, and I just couldn't sleep until I fixed it, reset it, sorted it out, and all that kind of stuff. But these guys were out that late into the night under very extreme and difficult circumstances. They were already tired, and that's when they see a figure walking out on the water. Scripture doesn't mince words. Verse 26, they were terrified. They were terrified. I mean, they were scared. They didn't know what was going on. They're besides themselves. And that's when Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." There's three obvious parts to this statement. The "take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And there are many times when God's people have been told to take courage, to not be afraid. The one that comes to my mind most easily, most frequently, is the command to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. What a great word of encouragement to Joshua as he is taking up responsibility to lead the people. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. And of course, there are many other times when God gave that message of courage, of fearlessness to his people when they were going to face some trying times and some great armies in some cases. And even in some lesser known situations, much more individual. An example is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, when people brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. Jesus said, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." Great words of comfort, great words of reassurance. But the real key in that phrase is actually right in the middle. It's the statement, "It is I." And that's really what we need to focus in on in our lives. Of course, we love the statement, "Take courage." Who wouldn't like that? Who wouldn't love to hear, "Do not be afraid"? We all need those words of reassurance. But those words of reassurance are meaningless unless they're backed up by the authority of the one who says them. And that is why that middle phrase is so important. It is I. We'll get to that in a moment. If I were to come to you, as an example, and announce to you that you are now a brain surgeon, you might say, "Norm, you need to get your brain checked out," all right? My saying, "You are now a brain surgeon," doesn't actually mean anything, does it? It means nothing. On the other hand, if a team of medical examiners, after years of training and testing, conferred on you the title of a brain surgeon, well, that would mean something, wouldn't it? In other words, it's who says something that makes what is said meaningful, valuable, or not. And likewise, it's not enough for me to simply say, "Take courage, don't be afraid." What's important is who is saying it. Jesus says, "It is I." And this is very meaningful, very profound, because when Jesus says, "It is I," he's not simply identifying himself when you hear a knock on the door, you might say, "Who is it?" Nowadays, you got these Ring doorbells. You can just look on your phone and see who it is. But, you know, it's not just like somebody saying, "Oh, it's Norm," or "It's me," it's your brother, it's your whatever. Jesus isn't simply identifying himself. He is making a statement. And to understand that, we need to actually go back to the Greek text, which is so meaningful here, because the words, "It is I," in the Greek text are actually only two words, and those two words are literally translated, "I am." Take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. Where have we heard I am before? Well, we heard it at the burning bush, didn't we? Moses was asking God, what should he say when the Pharaoh says, who sent you? And God responds, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So much more than simply identifying himself, it's me. Jesus is making a powerful declaration. He is stating that he himself is the same one who spoke to Moses at the burning bush, who led the Israelites out of Pharaoh's grip with a mighty hand and led them through the wilderness. When Jesus comes out onto the lake, he isn't just giving them a pep talk. Take courage, guys. You can do this. He is saying, the great I am is here. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe, the one who was and is and will evermore be. The one who knows you, even before you were born, can count the hairs on your head. That's who is here. That's what Jesus is doing. He is identifying himself as God. And that's why the later on it says, truly you are the Son of God. That's part of this whole passage of Scripture, this identity of Jesus as the great I am. Jesus isn't simply saying, hey, you have no reason to be afraid. He's saying, God is with you. And today, despite all the rain, we're not actually out on a lake in a storm. But there are many factors which can cause us fear and discouragement. And that's even before you turn on the news. But the message to us is the same. Jesus still comes out to us. Yeah, sometimes he makes us wait until the fourth watch of the night. I wish sometimes he would come sooner, but he does come. And he, the great I am, who doesn't need any explanation for his existence. He doesn't depend on anybody or anything else. He simply is. He calls us to take courage. And that's the message for us today. And as we come to a close in this morning's service, I'd like for you to consider that question in your own life. Is there something in your life that God is calling you to take courage in? Is there something in your life that God is saying you can move forward without fear because I am is with you? For some people, maybe it's a relationship. A spouse or a child, an adult child, a parent, that there is some serious challenges in, and you're not exactly sure how to proceed. For some, maybe it's their singleness that they are looking at and figuring out. For some, it's their work or their ministry, or their future, or their health. What is there in your life that God is calling you to take courage in? we're not just giving a pep talk here. We're not saying, rah, 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 you can do this. Yeah, I believe in you. We're talking about the great I am, the God who knows you, who created you, who is there from the beginning, who is the beginning. He is with you. If it was simply me telling you to be courageous, well, that might not mean a whole lot. But can you not see? Have you not heard that God, the everlasting one, is here and he is with you? And he comes to you in the darkness of night and he says, take courage. I am. Don't be afraid. Where God's presence is, there is peace. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. And my prayer for you here and those online is that you would experience God's peace because of his presence in your life today. What is there that God is saying to you? Take courage. I am. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord our God, clearly there are many, many situations where we are in a position where, well, we're not on a lake like the disciples were, but we're on a sea of fear and doubt and uncertainty, and some are on a sea of brokenness, of broken relationships, of pain, of hurt, of different kinds, of uncertainties, of rejection, of failure of different ways, of neglect perhaps. Lord, there's so many things out there, and then there's all the things happening in our world around us that compounds it even more. And Lord, sometimes it's just too difficult. But Father God, we pray, and I know, Lord God, that as you were with the disciples, that you are with us today. And your word to us in the midst of our fourth watch of the night, take courage. The great I am is with you. Don't be afraid. And I pray, Father God, for all of your people, that as we draw near to you, as we come into your presence, Lord God, that we would be able to enjoy the peace that you give us. I pray, Father, for your peace on your people, Lord God, for any this morning who are going through a particularly difficult circumstance that is weighing heavy, heavy upon them. And maybe they feel like they're sinking like Peter was. Lord, I pray that today you would reach out your hand and say, take courage. I am here for you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.